don't know about you, it feels like it's been one of those mornings. I reckon we need to sack our service coordinator. What do you reckon? Sorry, Andrew. Will you pray with me as we come to this part, as we hear further from God's word, that we'd be open to our hearts being challenged and our minds pointed in the right direction. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we seek to answer some of the tough questions of life, we pray that our answers would be found not in our opinions, but in your word. And we pray that we would have ears to hear, hearts to be softened, and willing to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. A police officer once pulled over a driver and asked to see his license. And the man said, what's the matter, officer? I didn't go through any red lights. I certainly wasn't speeding. No, you weren't, said the officer. But I did see you bang your head on the steering wheel when that slow car, wouldn't get out of the left lane. And then a little bit further, I saw you mutter and swear under your breath as the blue car cut you off at the corner. Are those crimes, officer? No, they're not. But when I saw the Jesus Loves You sticker on the boot of your car, I figured the car must have been stolen. We're covering some of the big questions, and it doesn't get much bigger than this. Jesus, why don't your people practice what they preach? Jesus, why are Christians such hypocrites? Have you ever asked yourself that question of somebody else? Have you ever asked the question of yourself? Have you ever had others ask you that question? And why do we as Christians keep giving so much ammunition to people to keep asking the question over and over again? We preach, obey authorities, and yet we speed and illegally download movies. We preach, love your neighbours, and yet, well, most of us are too busy to know their names, and really when we talk to them, we're only complaining. Most of us preach, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and yet we're all too willing to hold a grudge. We preach, that which God has joined together, let no man separate, and yet the divorce rate amongst Christians is growing higher and higher. Jesus, why don't your people practice what they preach? Now, there are the odd times when people ask this question that they're referring to the tearful televangelist, the one who is on our TV screens every Sunday morning at 4 o'clock. They're preaching and selling their books, but all of a sudden they're found embezzling money and cheating on their wife. And they come and have tears a little bit like the next slide along. Thanks, Cliff. Some people say that in regards to the televangelist. Others referring to the disgraced megachurch pastor who has been known to deal with people in not the kind of way that people should be dealt with. But I reckon most of the time, I reckon the vast majority of the time, when that question is asked, Jesus, why don't your people practice what they preach? They're talking about the average church attender like you and me. Why don't we practice what we preach? Why don't our actions line up? In fact, I can remember a time just a month and a half ago where that very exact phrase was used of me, and it was my mum who said it. Sandy and I had needed to go out, and so we got my mum to come over and babysit our kids. My mum stayed until 10:30, 11 o'clock. And when we got back, we were really, really thankful. Thanks so much for minding our kids. We really appreciate it. We got to go out and do this important thing. We're really thankful. And we waved goodbye at the door and left my 55-year-old mother to walk out to the car in the dark in a suburb that she doesn't know. And she spent the whole trip home seething and the next 2.5 weeks reminding me, why don't you practice what you preach? Have you ever been asked that question yourself? If you have, and I'm guessing that most of us have, the good news is we're not the first people to be accused of being hypocrites. In fact, there's a long history of religious people being accused of not practicing what they preach. In fact, this is one of the five questions that we're covering. This is one of the few questions that Jesus actually addresses directly. Jesus addresses the issue of hypocrisy in a really, really stern way. Matthew 6 that Wayne just read for us. We're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has not only his disciples around him, he's also got the crowds at large. And he says, don't be like the religious leaders. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. They're hypocrites. They don't practice what they preach. Did you hear the accusation again and again in the reading? If you've got a Bible, it'd be great to open it up to Matthew 6 so that you don't just take my words for it. There were three particular areas that the religious leaders weren't practicing what they were preaching. The areas of prayer and giving and fasting. Let's take a look at it with me, starting at Matthew 6, verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Skip down to verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. You see, the religious leaders were preaching one thing and practicing something very different. They were preaching, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they were practicing, it's all about me, look at me. They weren't doing it for God at all. They were doing it to impress others. They were doing it to make it all about them. They were faking it. And Jesus says some pretty stern things about just this sort of people. Take a look at Luke 20:46. Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be treated with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the banquets. Beware, don't listen to them. They aren't real. They're faking it. They're actors. I don't know about you, but I didn't know before today. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek theater. It's someone who's a play actor. Someone who's good at pretending to be something that they're not. Someone who's good at pretending to be someone that they're not. Around Boxing Day, cinemas make more money than any other time of the year. We love going and seeing actors on the big screen. We love seeing good acting. But we don't like it so much with our friends. We don't like it so much with our kids or our neighbors or our spouses. We don't like people in real life acting, faking it. We really don't. These people make it all about themselves. The religious leaders are supposed to be modeling. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. And they got it completely wrong. And again, and again, and again, Jesus had stern words to say. Perhaps the most stern of all comes in Matthew 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Wow. I do not want Jesus saying that about me. The Queen Mary, the great flagship of the British Navy was probably best known for its three huge chimneys. It was once taken down for maintenance, and they were looking up and seeing these beautiful chimneys, well painted, well kept. But as they were taking them off the ship, they actually crumbled and disintegrated and broke. Because while the outside was beautifully maintained, the inside was nothing but rust, completely falling to pieces. And that's exactly like the spiritual life of these leaders. On the outside, they were all, oh, isn't thou great? But on the inside, they were dead. They were empty. They were faking it. They were trying to be something that they weren't. They were trying to be someone that they weren't. What about today? What about our time? I don't see too many people in flowing robes down at the marketplaces trying to be seen or noticed. But we do have modern equivalents, don't we? We have the modern day hypocrites. Perhaps the best example of that modern day idea is the Sunday best. The people who come to church and put on their acting face, their church face. They're the kind of people who experience lots of what I like to call the car park miracles. They come to church with their family and husband and wife are bickering and the kids are bickering and the husband and wife are screaming at the kids in the back. They drive through the church gates and all of a sudden, they're angels. They're smiling. They get out of the car. Let me open the door for you, brother. And they're waving at families. How's your prayer life going? You know, I've been praying for you guys. They come in and they sing the song. They kind of mouth the songs. And they hear the sermon. They pay their membership fee. They stick around just long enough so that just the right amount of the right people see that they were there. They get back in the car. They go out the gates and the bickering continues. Have you ever seen those sort of miracles? They're acting. They're not real. They're trying to be someone that they're not. Some churches try and embrace this idea and have signs like this. Our church isn't full of hypocrites. There's always room for one more. You see, when the world says, why don't you practice what you preach? I think most of the time they mean, get your practice right. You're not practicing what you're preaching. Start acting the way that your talk is. You need to change your lifestyle. But part of me wonders if these days Jesus wouldn't be more concerned or equally concerned with what we preach, not just what we practice. More of that in just a moment. But I want to stop now and just get a little bit personal for a moment, because I think you can't really address a topic like this just looking at other people. We've all got to stop and take a look at ourselves. Just 3 days ago was Christmas, in case you'd forgotten. And Sandy and I and our family, we go and meet with for dinner with my sister-in-law's place at Liz's house in South Cronulla. How many laws of the Torah are there? 613. There's about that many relatives who are there on Christmas night. And we made a decision on the way there, Sandy and I, that we would try and really super-duper appreciate Liz and George for hosting us all. They actually didn't go out and have a Christmas lunch. They were there slaving away, setting up the whole place. They went to an enormous effort. And we said, let's make it really clear that we appreciate it. Let's be really... And so we got there and we were trying to be super-duper thankful. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all your hard work. Is there anything we can do? I even tried washing up for a little bit. We had a great time. We ate lots and lots of food. We had a swim in the pool. Cameron, our 4.5-year-old, was being rocketed around by his big uncles. They're having a blast. Just as we were having fun, Michaela decided she wanted to get out of the pool. And so I got out of the pool with her, wrapped her up, placed her on the couch. We were singing songs. The creche teachers, I don't know if it's here or during the week, Michaela, my 2.5-year-old, knows the words to the song, My God is So Big, So Strong and So Mighty, without us teaching. So good work to whoever taught them that. We were singing songs. We get up, we look around, and there's a big wet bum patch on their new leather couch. And I'm like, oh no. And I looked around and it might have been my eyes, but I thought maybe it's looking a bit smaller. And I looked around again. No, it's definitely looking smaller. Might be okay. And then a few people started noticing it and people started mentioning it. Looks like there's a big bum patch on the couch. And I don't know why. It's probably pride. But I didn't say sorry. I didn't address it. And as the night went on, I kept thinking, I really need to apologize. I really need to say it was me. But to my shame, I went away that night and didn't say anything. When I remembered I was preaching on hypocrisy, the next day I rang up and said, look, I'm really sorry. And but on the day, I didn't do it. And so it didn't matter how much I said, look, I'm really thankful. My actions were something completely different. I didn't practice what I preached at all. That's just one of many examples. I consider my wedding day one of the proudest days of my life as I saw the most beautiful girl in the world walk down an aisle and hold hands with me, and I looked into her eyes and I said, with all that I am and all that I have, I honor you. Some 6 years down the track, and I'm looking back and I'm thinking, have I always done that? Have I always honored my wife with all that I have and all that I am? And all too often the answer is no. When I look at my own life, when I look back, I think, why don't I practice what I preach? Over the last number of years in pastoral ministry, I've been able to sit down one-to-one with lots and lots of people, mainly men, lots and lots of dads. I am yet to sit down with a single man who sat down and said, you know what, Robbie? I'm a really good dad. You know, I've actually exceeded my expectations in how good a dad I am. I haven't met one person who's been able to say that. Take whatever equivalent you want. I don't know about you, but I know for me, there's a gap. There's a gap between what I practice and what I preach. There's a gap between the me that I want to be and the me that I am. The me that I want to be seen as and the me in my darkest hours. Why don't we practice what we preach? Because when we get down to it, I don't think any of us practice what we preach. I don't think any of us live up to our own standards. I don't think that gap is non-existent for any of us. And with this being the case, I want to actually turn the question around a little bit. Why don't we practice what we preach? I think sometimes far more of the issue is in what we preach. It's in the message that we put across. Too often we preach that to be a Christian, you need to be a good person. You need to be a moral person. You need to be a better person. Whether we mean to or not, whether it's intentional or not, when we speak that way, we're no better than the religious leaders of Jesus' day, because we're making it all about us. But friends, I think we all know this. Being a Christian isn't about being a good person. Being a Christian is about being a forgiven person. And yet, how are Christians viewed in the media, for example? Judgmental, condemning, intolerant, bigoted, the list goes on. Whether we mean to or not, all too often our message as Christians comes across as a look at me gospel. Look at me. You need to be a good person like me. You need to be a moral person like me. You need to follow the rules like me, and then maybe God will accept you. And Jesus would say the same thing to us as he did to the religious leaders. You hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs. You have received your reward in full. We heard that mentioned by Jesus over and over again in our passage. If you do this thing to be seen by men, you will have received your reward in full. Friends, if you are one of those people who's fallen into that trap, whether deliberately or not, That trap of coming and putting on your Sunday best, that trap of acting the church mentality when you come to church. If you're doing that to impress others, congratulations. It's probably worked. Everyone will look at you and go, aren't you a religious, aren't you a wonderful family? And you've received your reward in full, because Jesus doesn't have anything to say to you after that. Scary but true. Is that us? Is that our congregation? Are we a bit like that? If it is you and you don't want it to be, the good news is there is an alternative. There is an alternative to making it all about us. And I couldn't word it any better than 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The alternative to being all about me is that it's all about Jesus. It's an alternative that says no one is righteous, not even one. It's an alternative that says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's an alternative that says it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. It's an alternative that says this is a trustworthy saying, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Because you see, there was one man who practiced what he preached. There was one man whose actions and words matched up completely, in whom there was no gap, the man Jesus of Nazareth. Let me give you one example. That's a horrible looking red cross. Look better on my screen. There was one man who preached, forgive and pray for those who persecute you. That was his preaching. And on the last day of his life, as he was bruised and beaten and bloody and spat on and ridiculed and nailed to a cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. There's a man who practiced what he preached. There's a man in whom there was no falsehood. There's a man who could say, I'm not acting. So why don't his followers practice what they preach? Why don't your people practice what they preach? Because his people are sinful people like you and me. That's the short answer. Because they're sinners. I'm a sinner. Too often I make it about myself and not about Jesus. That's why I don't practice what I preach. Because it becomes all about me and not about him. Because all too often we preach a message, we preach a gospel that's not good news at all. We preach a gospel that just condemns us and everyone around us. Why don't we practice what we preach? Probably because we preach a wrong message. We should be practicing and preaching a message that says, I'm a sinner in need of a great Savior, looking to Jesus, who's done it all for me. And then going and living an obedient life as a result of that. What do we need to take away from a morning like this morning? Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're someone who has put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and I'm talking about internally, I'm not talking about what other people know. If you're someone who deep inside knows that you trust Jesus, I think the answer is pretty simple. We need to watch what we practice, and we need to watch what we preach. We need to be people who do obey authorities, who don't speed, who don't download movies illegally, who don't hold grudges, who do forgive people. We need to watch our practice. We also need to watch our preaching. We live in a world who is all too eager to look down at Christians, to have us under the microscope and just look for us to fail. We need to continually put across a message that the Christian life is not about being a better person. It's not about following rules. It's about a relationship. It's about admitting we can't follow the rules, but we follow the one man who did. It's all about Jesus. We need to watch our practice, we need to watch our preaching, and we need to be held accountable. That's why as a church, we really promote the values and the benefits of being involved in a life group during the week. A life group where we can come together and remind one another we need to be real. Let's put off that Sunday best. Let's be raw. I've been part of two life groups this year, and one of the groups has had some real struggles. If you're in one of my groups, it must have been the other one. One group's had some really hard times. But I've seen the way those people have got together. The church faces have come off. The reality has come forward. We've been able to pray for them. We've been able to keep them accountable. We've been able to support them and love them. We can't do that if we have our church faces on. We can't help you very much. But if you're willing to actually be yourself, to invest your life, then there's a great deal that we can do to help. And life groups are a great vehicle to help that happen. What if you're someone here and you know deep in your heart that you don't yet trust Jesus? You know deep in your heart that despite what other people might think, you just haven't been willing to put your foot across that line and say, Jesus is the most important person in my life. What I'd really love you to do is to stop for a minute, to look deep within yourself, and to ask yourself the question, do you live up to your own standards? You might be the loudest, most vocalist atheist. Do you practice what you preach? Because my guess is that 99% of people, when they take a good hard look, are going to say no. If you're part of the 1%, I know a few good counselors. We can correct your sense of self-righteousness. We can get you some help there. Because I think deep down we all know we don't live up to our own standards. How do you expect to live up to God's standards if you can't live up to your own? As Christians, one of the fundamental differences is we know we can't live up to our own standards. And we certainly know we can't live up to God's standards. But we've put our trust into one who did and who promises life to those who trust him, who know that it's not all about us. Because if it is all about us, we're only going to disappoint ourselves and those around. Why don't your people practice what they preach? It's a great question to turn around on ourselves. It's a great diagnostic question. Why aren't we practicing what we preach? And in order to turn that momentum of that question around, we're going to need each other's help and we need lots of prayers. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are deeply sorry for the hurt that we've caused by being people who haven't practiced what we've preached, by making it about us and not about you, for the hurt that that's caused, not only to individuals, but to the Christian message, that we've distorted what is good news for sinners like us to be a judgmental righteousness to those who we view as somewhat different to us. Lord, help us to be people who preach good news and whose actions live that out. Help us to be people who are willing to say sorry, who are willing to ask for forgiveness, and who are willing to give that forgiveness in return. Help us to be like Jesus, because one day we know we will be like that. One day we know there will be no gap. As your Spirit grows within us, and as we enter the new age, we know that that's what's coming. Let us start living that way now. Let us be real with one another. Let us put off our Sunday best. Let us be ourselves. And let us all do that together. In Jesus' name, amen.